Now let's get underway. And first of all, chapter 1 now, and the subject here, the church is an organization. The first four verses we have here are introduction. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Now, this is a very wonderful verse here, and it's characteristic of these epistles that we call the pastoral epistles, but it's not characteristic of the other epistles of Paul. Here, he emphasizes he's a servant, and as we've said before, in the other epistles, he's defending his apostleship. Now, here, he's a bond slave, for that is the word here for servant. He's a bond slave of God, and he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. And the reason that he asserts his apostleship here, he's going to give instructions for the organized church. And this comes from an apostle, the appointed writer of the Lord Jesus, the one who now, through his apostles, has communicated with the church. And this is a communication now from the Lord Jesus to us. And it's according to the faith of God's elect. Now, this is a very interesting statement. I would say that it means, actually, not for the faith, but according to the faith. In other words, the norm or standard of faith which is set for God's elect today. Whether you're saved or not, my friend, does determine on what you believe today. Now, you tell me what you think of Jesus Christ. I can tell you whether you're saved or not. You tell me what you believe about his death on the cross and what it means to you, and his resurrection and what it means to you. And I think that I could tell you whether you're saved or not. You tell me what you think about the Bible, whether it's the Word of God or not. And I think that from that we could deduce whether you're a child of God or not. This is the norm, you see, according to the faith of God's elect. Now, the ones that are here that are the elect, he's not discussing the doctrine of election here at all. All he's saying here, these are the saved people, by the way. And this is the way he speaks of them. And the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. And the acknowledging here actually means knowledge of the truth, and the knowledge of the truth which is after godliness. My friend, if the truth that you have does not lead to a godly life, there's something radically wrong with your faith, by the way, something radically wrong with it. We hear today, and I heard this recently, of a man, a preacher, who I understand he drinks, that he cusses, belongs to the country club and runs at that crowd, and that he preaches the gospel and people come forward every Sunday. A preacher in that community was telling me that with great sorrow. And he said, "Dr. McGee, how is it that man's prospering?" Well, I don't think he's prospering. And I think he's bringing a lot of numbers into the church. But I honestly don't think that he's building the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's quite obvious that the truth will lead to godliness. And if it doesn't lead to godliness, must not be truth, my friend. Something's radically wrong with that type of thinking, and there's a great deal of it abroad today. Now, the gospel, when it's believed, will lead to godliness. And we're going to find out Paul's going to dwell on this. In fact, in these pastoral epistles, Paul talks a great deal about godliness, and he certainly has a great deal to say against ungodliness. We're going to find out that when the grace of God saves us, over in the second chapter, verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness, we are to produce a life if we've been saved by grace. Now, the people on the island of Crete, They were abusing the grace of God. They said, since we're saved by grace, we are free to live in sin if we want to. And by the way, there are people today that take that position. Now, Paul answers this right here in the very first verse by saying that the truth of God that is believed, and when it is believed, the truth of God is really believed, it leads to godliness. Now, you'll find out Paul has a great deal to say about that. Now, these people there on the island of Crete, they were abusing the grace of God. And he says that grace saves us, and he's going to say, as we are going to see, that it lays down certain disciplines for our lives, and it calls us to live on a high plane. You cannot use the doctrine of the grace of God to excuse sin. It's impossible. If you think that you can be saved by grace and live in sin, I have to say this to you. You are not saved by grace. And you're not saved, period. Because if you've been saved by the grace of God, it leads to a godly life.